Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy! They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine and More.
Blog Talk Radio.
Contra Radio Network. Preparedness Radio. With your host, John Jeffers.
And good evening, I'm John Jeffers here at the Contra Radio Network. It's Sunday night, the 11th of December, 2016. Well, I want to thank you, listeners. We're well above 24,000 listeners a month right now. We've had over 140,000 downloads of the Contra Radio Network because they are excellent episodes, as well as the other shows we have here on CRN, including Ladies of the Watch and New Mexico Prepping West, our newest one. All of them going big. There is, or in the vernacular of our president-elect, going big league. Yeah, you know, tonight, you know, I want to talk to you a little bit about people in your prepper group. Now, if you want to call in, you can. Our number is 516-453-9389. 516-453-9389. You know, when you have a group of people, you're going to always have diverse personalities. And as a prepper leader, you're going to have to be able to identify these personality traits, or what, maybe not so much personality traits, perhaps it's the way these people will respond to you. And I want to give an example. This is a true story. True story alert right here. I had a guy in my prepper group. He just recently retired. He was a history teacher at one of the local public high schools, a conservative, a raging conservative, more conservative than I am. If, you know, you can find that, you know. I know it's hard to believe, but it is true. So, anyways. For the longest time, he would never, I couldn't figure it out. And the other day it hit me. Finally hit me. I couldn't figure the guy out. At first I thought he was just stubborn. He's one of those guys that doesn't like to admit he's wrong, that, you know, that he's wrong. And he and I spoke on about different historical events. Some of them we agreed on, others we didn't. Some of the ones we didn't concerned the war for Southern independence. And the other day we were talking, what was it? Yeah, it was probably last week we were talking. And I mentioned to him, we were discussing the History Channel show, Hunting Hitler. I find it fascinating. I don't know why, I just do. But I watch it. And I was telling him about it. And before I could even get through the second sentence, he cuts me off. Oh, no. Hitler died there, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, but Paulie, the bottom line is there's no actual victim identification. Oh, no. Didn't want to hear it. So I just stopped. And it kind of bothered me. But then I realized that's just the way he is. And I thought, you know what? For every Paulie that we have in the world, there's probably one in your group. Now, I'm not saying get rid of these people out of your group. What I'm saying is, well, we got a caller here. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, John. Great day to be an American.
Every day is a great day to be an American, sir. So, what do you do with people? And I couldn't just figure it out. I was thinking, what is it about this? It's just driving me nuts. I couldn't get a grip on it. like I said, at first I thought it was just a guy who didn't like to admit that he's wrong. And I thought, no, that's too easy. That's too simple of an answer. But then it dawned on me, you know what? He's unable. And you'll find people, you can ask them certain things. Just remember, what you're asking may be too much for them to actually do. I see Camo Mike is in the chat room. If you want to join Camo Mike in the chat room, please do. Good evening, Camo Mike. Glad you're here. So it dawned on me. He cannot change his belief system. And maybe it's not so much his belief system. Perhaps it's he cannot accept the possibility of new conventional wisdom. So how do you deal with people like that? Well, first of all, most people like that are going to be pretty loyal. And by loyal, I mean, look, they're loyal to the prepper group to a point. Now, what do you mean by to a point? For example, and Chuck will confirm this, when we were doing some of our training, we were doing land navigation or learning how to orient compasses to maps or sutures or whatever it was. There was only a handful of people. This guy would never show. He always had a reason. Now, does that mean everybody that cannot change their outlook, cannot change their opinions, cannot change perhaps what they think is right, no matter what? Even if facts are staring them in the face that they do not want to accept? Do you need people like that? Perhaps.
No. No, you don't.
I would not put them in the command structure. But on the other hand, if you have somebody that believes they're supposed to be in a prepper group, they have to be able to accept the fact that they don't know it all. Now, Paulie and I have gotten into it many times to the point I excluded him from the new group. Chuck and I had a group before this. And because Chuck was one of the few people that actually showed up for training, actually had an interest in stuff, I kept Chuck in the new group. And I'm glad he's here. But I was not going to sit here and have a tactics discussion with the history teacher who will not listen, who thinks he's, you know, he's, no matter what I told him, oh no, he always had a better plan. You're going to run into people like, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Can I chime in on that?
Go ahead.
Okay. When you're trying to build a prepper group, you see, it's a reciprocal type of thing. You're trying to build a prepper group, but you also need effort on the part of those people who is going to join your group. When
right.
You're part of any group, you have to demonstrate your reliability, your dependability to that group. And one of the best ways to do that is to actually show up to the darn meetings or to the training sessions and to participate in the activities of that particular group. And when you don't do that, and I don't think anyone that decides not to join that group, even though they're supposedly a member, should expect to continue being a member if they do not actively participate in the activities of that group for training or for meetings or, you know, whatever. And a lot of, I guess, this could be a new millennial generation thing. But Paulie is an older guy. He should know better as well. But you simply cannot participate. You can't choose to participate in any particular group and still expect to be considered as a reliable or dependable member of that particular group. It's simple as that. And it doesn't make a difference what the hell his academic credentials are. Because his academic credentials does not save a person on his team, especially if you're not there. So that that's pretty much my take on the entire thing. If you're not willing to be there, then honestly, you shouldn't even be on a team in the first place.
Why bother?
Right.
No, I understand that, and I agree with you. And I went ahead, and so at the point now, yes, he's still prepping. And he asks on occasion, oh, what's going on here? I don't tell him. said, sorry, pal, you're out. Are we still friends? Yeah. But he's going to have people like him who are unable to see past the mirror. People like them are going to have a real tough time when reality sets in, because all their preconceived ideas, all their hopes and dreams, when a grid goes down, and their plans will turn to garbage because they are unable to think on their feet. They are unable to change with the circumstances and environment from which they find themselves. Is it unfortunate? Yes. You know, I like the idea of having an educator in the group, because our prepper members will have children. They need to be educated. They need to learn how to read and write and do the mathematics. And what better than having someone that's done it their entire life? Now, is he armed to the teeth? Oh, absolutely. Does he go shooting? Yeah, he does. But that's just one facet. Another type of person you're going to find in your group are those that will disagree with you no matter what. Now, unlike the first example, there's always the hope that when reality sets in, they'll go, oh, I better start figuring this out now. Then you have those that are not in, say, the command structure of the prepper group, who will continually second-guess you. They will not agree with any decision you make. And if you screw up, they're going to be the first ones beating the drum to have your head on a platter. These are the people you do not need in your group. I don't care what skills they have, because their poison will seep through in the entire group, and you will have infighting within the group. And that infighting will fester like the pus that it is, and blister up, and when it ruptures, it's not going to be good. It will be a violent outcome. So if you have somebody, now I'm not saying people have to follow blindly. What I'm saying is these are the people that don't listen to reason. They are always on the lookout to find fault. Now they'll find fault with everyone else but themselves. These are the people you need out of your group, because they don't know how to work with people. They don't get along well with people. They have zero people skills. They have zero communication skills. And a lot of times they will end up just screaming and yelling. They can't talk. They're emotional. Reasonability for between them. Now, just so you understand, and I've said it before, and for you new preppers out there, I want you to understand something. This is true with all human beings. When you're emotional, your reasoning ability goes lower. When you've got your emotions in check and they're low, your reasoning abilities go up, your emotions go low. Now, this is an inverse scale. It's always going up and down, both sides, depending on the situation. With these people who are always looking to find fault or somebody else's fault, we usually call them liberals. We don't need them here. These are the people that will cut your throat in a heartbeat if they think they can get away with it. They will tear down your command structure. They will backstab every, and I'm serious, they will backstab every member of the group, not to their face, of course, because that would require courage and integrity. These are the whiners. These are the hand-wringers, the bedwetters. Oh, I can't do that. These are the people that are lazy, that won't do what has to be done. They will find a reason to make it up, to get out of doing whatever it is they need to do. They expect you and the command structure to cater to their every whim. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen ever. At least not in my group. I don't have those people in my group because I flushed them down the toilet. I had a lot of guys who had some great skills, but they never showed up. Never showed up once. They always had something better to do. Well, that's okay. Because I don't want to have to trust other people's lives to them. Not now. Not ever. I look at Chuck. Yes, I give Chuck a ration of crap quite a bit. But I'll tell you what. Chuck is loyal. Chuck goes to trainings. Chuck brings up other options, which is not the same as backstabbing. It's not the same as
confrontationally argumentative.
Right. Hey, look. I'm all for. Hey, give me all the scenarios. Give me all the options. Hey, if I'm wrong, I'm okay with changing stuff. Let's just make sure we do it for the right reasons. That's all. And look, let's face it. I'm a smart guy, but I'm not that smart. And let's face it. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 brains are better than one. It's like 6 pairs of eyes are better than one pair. What do we got there? What's Foil Hat Soldier whining about? He's in the chat room now. Kamo Mike, I agree with you. He says, my tolerance for people has gone way down the older I get. Yes, that is true, sir. Myself also. And Foil Hat Soldier says, honestly, that's what concerns me about the concept of joining a group. I get along with most people, but in a worst case scenario, what will happen? Well, that's why we have training. We get to know people. And I got to be honest with you, my prepper group, I've been slacking for quite some time on the training because I had got members all over God's green earth. At least I like to think so. But when it comes to training, that's why you do training. You get to know people. Not everybody's going to be strong in every particular aspect of prepping or bushcraft. All right? Everybody's got maybe one or two skills they're really, really good at. And that's true with most people. Most people have one thing they're really, really good at. And then it goes down from there. Now, what do we do about people who are, shall we say, consistently lame, sick, or lazy? You're going to run into those people. And it may not show through at training. It may be when the grid goes down and about a week or two into it, you're going to notice certain people aren't pulling their weight that they should be or that they're under, that they can. So what do you do about those people? Well, the first thing you do as a leader, as a prepper group leader, even a patriot group leader, do not let it slide one time. You got to call them on it and watch them. Now, true. And if Terry was here, he'll tell you, you know, there are some people that require constant supervision, constant. If you're not watching them, they're fucking around. They're up to some fuckery. I guarantee it. You got other people, say Chuck, for example, and I'm not blowing smoke up Chuck's skirt because he doesn't wear a skirt, but all I want to tell you is this. I say, hey, Chuck, can you look at this and tell me what you think? You know what? He gets back to me in a day or so, whatever it takes. He gets back to me. It's done. I know that I could trust Chuck. I could say, Chuck, what do you think about this? Or, hey, Chuck, can you get a group of people over there and get that taken care of? You know what? It's done. And it will be done right because I know Chuck. Chuck is not a sick, lame, or lazy person. He knows what's at stake. He knows that you can't cut corners. If you cut corners, well, with prepping or prepper group or prepper training, be prepared to fail because Murphy's going to show up and bite you on the ass, and he's going to take a chunk out of it. So I hope you're wearing your number 2 butt protector when it happens. But that's what happens when you put people that are, shall I say, not up to par. And remember, you can't make people train. You can't make them do things because, like I said, proper group is called voluntary compliance. That doesn't mean because they offer to come in that they get to skate and do nothing. For the, you know, as Chuck brought out, if that's the case, why even bother? Good luck to you. We'll see you when the grid goes down. Maybe we won't. Who knows? And frankly, we don't care. If you're a foil hat soldier in the chat room, says he got my degree at the University of Murphy. You know what? Two types of people in the world. Those that will listen because they're told something. And then you have the other hand that won't listen and they will learn by, let's put it this way. They'll learn when things go bad. Then they'll go, oh, well, I should have listened to so-and-so. Yeah, well, it's a little too late. What good is that to anybody? If you understand those things. Now, when you're talking to people, I got to tell you, more often than not, it's when I'm out doing stuff or whatnot, or I'm talking to people face-to-face, I usually address everybody, yes, sir, no, sir. You know why? Because it conveys a level of respect. Do they deserve the respect? Hell, I don't know. Just because I know them and I'm talking to them doesn't mean they automatically get it. But let me tell you something. Just by saying yes, sir, no, sir, you know what? You gain people's cooperation. Because once you start showing people, especially in a proper group, that you value their input, you value their effort, they're going to want to do more. Just basic leadership stuff. Show them that they're valuable. Tell them they're valuable. Let them know their effort is appreciated. Let them know that, you know what, hey, I'm glad to see you here at training today. Today we got really good training. I'm glad to see you here. That shows me a lot. You say that to people, you know what, they're going to brighten up. They're going to do training even better than what they were. Let's face it, who wants to go to training? I don't. I've done it. I've had enough of it for 26 years. I don't want to keep doing it. But I also know that with the training, that's how I'm going to continue to learn, how I continue to keep some of my skills sharp. Plus, with training, you get different ideas. You get other people that are different ideas, maybe how to accomplish the same goal, but do it more efficiently. That's not cutting corners. That's just it. What do we got here? Okay. Kamo Mike and Foil Hat Soldier have their own conversation going. We will let them go at it. No problem. Chuck, what do you think?
I think, the position of leadership is a really vulnerable position. Mm-hmm. Basically, and it's a double-edged sword, too. On the one hand, you're a leader, so any choices that you make, the consequences fall upon you. And
right.
Even your own men can blame it on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're relieved of any type of accountability or culpability whatsoever because they were, you know, ordered to do so. But at
right.
the same time, you know, you have to basically put your trust in them. And when you give them a task or a mission to do, and when they're out in the field and you're not there, then someone senior to them is going to have to take on that responsibility, and then they're on the hook for it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But at some point in time, everyone's going to be on the hook for something. Either accomplishing their own mission as part of a team, but in which case, you know, when you're part of a team, basically the success or failure of any task or mission that you're trying to accomplish is basically everyone's effort combined, working together. But if you have dissent in the ranks where one person is talking about having doubts in this leader and so on and so forth, and then that spreads, and eventually the mission that you're on gets compromised, it'll never get accomplished because there's always going to be someone there who doesn't understand the concept of falling in line and getting things done.
Right.
If you're in a survival situation and all stuff, and if you're looking for democracy and majority vote wins all, that's not going to happen. Not in a situation where you're in a survival situation and you're trying to make sure that you have what you need in order to keep your group alive, but at the same time, you're defending it from other groups who might want to take it so that their people can be alive. It's a very, very, cutthroat world where, you know, I think when you have personal agenda or personal interests in any prepper group, that can compromise the entire team or the entire group itself. If any one or two people prioritize their own interests over that of the entire group, and those are the people that any leader of any group needs to look out for. Okay, this is another group in another county that you're familiar with. There was dissensions in the rank where there's too many alpha males with their own opinions, and they couldn't arrive at a consensus, and as a result, they all went their separate ways, and the entire group sort of, you know, shattered at that particular point. And I'm not even sure if it was ever put back together again, if at all. I wasn't even there for that. I heard about it after the fact, but no one is saying that a person does not know more or less than another person. Although there are some people who have a chip on their shoulders, I'll try to prove it. And those are the people that you have to watch out for. Because when they're doing that, they're actually serving their own interests, trying to prove something. But they're not doing it for the sake of the entire group. They might make themselves believe that they're doing that, but at the end of the day, it isn't. Because you have to have order. You have to have order, and you also have to have to a certain degree, compliance, not blind compliance. If you have an issue with a decision being made, fine. Talk about it to the leader off to the side or something like that. But don't try to confront him in front of the group and undermine his entire authority altogether. That is, I mean, if that's the case, then you know what? You guys have it out in the fisticuffs then.
Yep, that's true.
You know, and if you're not willing to do that, then shut the fuck up. That's pretty much how I feel about the entire thing. But that's just me.
You know. That's pretty well put. Another kind of person you're going to deal with, and Chuck touched on it, and that is you're going to have people who are strict, by the books, toe the line. They're not fanatical. By God, they're the ones that will make sure that if somebody in their squad or their unit or their cell, they will do it. That is the fastest way to lose prepper group members. Like I said, it's voluntary compliance. Voluntary compliance. So if you get somebody who's almost fanatical but not quite, is you're going to deal with, like I said, it's almost a fanatical. I mean, these are the guys you tell them to go take the hill, we'll take the hill. They don't care what the cost. They were told to do something, they'll do it. Yes, those people have a lot of value, but they can be misused. For example, they may end up acting out on their own, thinking this is what the leadership wants. You can't do that with them. You can't let that happen. As a prepper leader, you are responsible for other people's lives, especially in a grid down situation. You are going to be responsible, and I'm going to tell you something, and I want you all to listen carefully. You will lose people. You're going to lose people. And it may not be, you know, you won't be able to look back and blame it on leadership. We're going to lose people, period. That's the nature of the beast. Now, does that mean we just throw people's lives away right and left? No, of course not. But the nature of the beast says you're going to lose people. And how you deal with losing people is going to say a lot about your leadership. And I'm not talking about the silly things we see written in Hollywood by screenwriters who may or may not know anything about prepping. You know the kind of people I'm talking about. You're going to lose people, all right? And how you choose to react to that is going to set the precedent for the rest. Now, can I sit here and tell you, well, you need to react this way, this way, this way? No. Because too many variables. What I can tell you is this. When you lose somebody, show if they have family, just show the proper respect. they understand. Now, in their grief, they may not understand why or the wherefores. But after they get over the initial shock and the grief, they will come back around. It's going to be hard. Because you might lose friends, you might lose loved ones, you might lose people that just got into your group the day before, came in off the road, they had some skills, they've been there maybe a day or two, and for whatever reason, they've passed away. They're dead. Just bear in mind, and this is, a lot of times we all forget this. I'm just laughing what I'm saying on the chat room. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Is it Tukey? Hey, check it out. We got Julie in the chat room. You want to talk to Julie? We got Kenny Kaufman in the chat room. Hey, Kenny, good to see you here, guys. Just remember this. And it took me a while to learn this. Remember, everybody is somebody's, mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, to somebody in their family. So beware of that. It's a touchy subject. No one wants to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it any more than I want to talk about, sewage, how to treat sewage, or garbage. No, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about cool stuff. But it doesn't always happen that way. One of the things that I can tell you about Chuck is this. Chuck is not fanatical. And Chuck brings up some good options for me. And what I like about Chuck is truly, and this is only for you prepper group leaders out here. Have somebody, an advisor on the leadership, on your war council, is this. Have somebody that's willing to tell you things you don't want to hear. Those are the people you trust. Think about that. And it's also true with your friends. Only your real friends, your true friends, will tell you things you don't want to hear. There have been a few things that Chuck's told me that I didn't want to hear. That doesn't make it invalid. It just means I don't want to hear it. I don't like it. But it's something I needed to hear.
Yeah, I'm paying for that right now because of my man card. Okay.
I gave your man card back.
Oh, okay, so. Then I take back everything that I said.
All right. Very good then. So, again, coming back with different people you're going to have in your group. Now, you're going to have the snake. What is the snake? You know these people. These are the people. Now, they are not like the other group we talked about, which will be openly defying you and questioning you and just running you down every minute of the day. The snake works through passive aggressiveness. The snake will tell you things to your face which you want to hear. And then will work actively behind your back and behind the scenes to see that you fail. Get rid of them. Again, that's a poison. It's going to put other group members at risk. Get rid of them. Now, if I was the counselor type of leader, I would say, get called out on it once. Happens again, pack your shit. Bye. And I would call Chuck in and say, escort this clown to the gates and make sure he keeps going. And Chuck would say, okay.
Pretty much, yep.
Because there's too much to lose by having these people around. Terry and I and Chuck, we talked about last week, what if you got the thief in the group? Terry had a different take on it. Me, I have no tolerance for thieves. None. Zero zilch. I have no tolerance for it. And I think it's because I have too much respect for personal property. I will not damage other people's property. I won't. I won't do it. Because that's what dishonorable topas do, and I won't do it. But, Chuck, what's your take? What kind of people do you think we would find in the prepper group?
Well, do I think we'll be fine in a prepper group? If recent experiences is any indication, we're going to find lots of people with various backgrounds and various beliefs and ideologies. A lot of those beliefs and ideologies will probably or eventually, but most certainly run as a contradictory to your own. It adds for an interesting mix, and you're basically trying to see if the various backgrounds and ideologies that they have can actually be a fit for the entire group. In balance, in terms of not only skill set, but also temperament and also reasoning. So it's like if I were to describe what it's like to put together a cohesive group, a grouper where everyone can depend on each other, it's like a jigsaw puzzle, and you have to go through a whole bunch of pieces in order to find the one piece that fits the hole that you're trying to fill. Mm-hmm. And that pretty much is the only way that I could describe it, I guess, John.
You know what? And Julie, you know, she's in the chat right now, and Julie told me this. She and Dawn were in a particular group, and it was a fairly large, successful group. And one of the things that Julie and some of the others and Dawn had found out were that the prepper leadership was only worried about their own personal gain. That is an absolute no-go. That cannot be allowed, period. If you are seeing in a prepper group or a patriot group leadership of, you know, making a personal gain, no matter what it is, you will lose the following, you will lose the membership. Again, it's poison. Don't do it. Don't even think about it. Now, I know that the wife just walked in the studio. You know, don't do it. If you think you're going to do something like that, if you think you're susceptible or tempted to do something like that, get out. Do not. You can stay in the prepper group. Just don't be in leadership because your integrity factor isn't there. Don't do it. So, what about the person? All they do is spread rumors. How do you deal with it? And I'm going to let Chuck take that one.
I didn't know today was going to be a test, John. Is there a learning curve or grading curve?
Nope. Just want to hear your take on it. Just want to hear your take on it. You got, because every group has people and rumors. Rumors. Let's do this. Rumors and gossip. Go ahead. Handle it.
Well, in any military unit, and you know what, any group at all, period, there's always going to be a certain amount of grapevine scuttlebutt. That is a given. Some of the information that may be spread during that scuttlebutt may be generally true or not. It may be entirely wrong altogether. You know, that's one of those. Scuttlebutt is an informal network of information being conveyed or transferred back and forth that, as far as I know, not any government or leadership was able to, you know, to crack down on or control. It can happen on a Navy ship. It can happen in a unit out in the field. It can even happen on a team that you're working on at your employment. So that's something that can't be stopped. And the information that's being spread is typically not vetted. And may or may not be true. You know what I mean? So that's one of those things that that cannot be stopped, but it can be utilized to the benefit of the group or to the benefit of a mission. Basically, if there's an informal network happening, some people refer to it as counterintelligence. Basically, spreading misinformation so that you don't want the other side to know what you're doing, but you want that misinformation to be leaked anyways so that it can be spread. You know, as far as any individual responsible for spreading these rumors, you know, it's going to be really hard to find the guilty culprit responsible for doing this. But the skilled leader, I think, will be able to utilize that to his advantage in any given situation.
Yes. You know what? I would add this. If you want to deal with those that are, you know, the rumors and the gossipers and all that, as a prepper group leader or patriot leader, make sure you're open. You're telling them what's going on. The fastest, quickest way to discredit somebody who's either passing the rumors, starting the gossip, you know what the fastest, quickest way is to sit there and show them that it's not true. So always, for you leaders out there, always be open and honest with your membership. First of all, you know, you're never, and Chuck's right, you're never ever going to be able to stop the rumors or the gossip. What you can do, though, is, you know, you put the person's, shall we say, information, or, you know, their information, their gossip, their rumors, into disrepute. You just sit there and say, this isn't true. This isn't what's happening.
I'll give you an example. What if there's a scuttlebutt about a person being unreliable or having issues or being a complete liar? And
right.
If the leadership catches wind of this, you know, it's all unsubstantiated. So the leader, I rightfully can't, you know, should not be able to cast judgment on that person. Give that person a chance to prove through his actions that what they're talking about is not true. Put him in a position where honesty is required, maybe inventory or, working on the books with money or something like that, something that's basically written on a piece of paper, something that can be validated, and see whether or not he is a liar. I guess that's one way of putting it. Sometimes if the scuttlebutt is wrong, the only way that you can approve or disapprove that the scuttlebutt about a person is wrong is to basically put that same person in a situation where his choices will pretty much, you know, validate whether that scuttlebutt is true or not.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, you have to meet it head on. You cannot let it fester. Again, that's poison. Eventually, what happens is the gossip gets going, and it adds fuel to the snake, and it adds fuel to the oppositional defiance. And then say, see? No, that's not going to happen. That's not ever going to happen. And besides, realize what rumors are. Rumors are started by people who are afraid. People who have no faith in you. They think they're going to subvert whatever it is you're trying to do. So bear that in mind. The only way to deal with gossip and rumors, you'll never stop it, but just be open with people. If you're out of food, say, we're out of food. We got to do this, this, and this. Or, you know what? You know, somebody's been doing this. Somebody's been doing that. We don't know who it is yet, but we're going to, you know, find out. And it's okay if you're a prepper leader or a patriot leader to say, I don't know. First of all, you're not going to have all the answers anyways, and don't sit there and make them up. Because if you make up the answers, it turns out later on it's false or it's wrong. You will be held accountable for it, and you should. If you don't know something, say, I don't know. It's all right to say, I don't know. Because then at least it puts everybody understands, one, you're human, and two, if you don't know something, you don't know. So he says, what's going on over here? I don't know. I haven't been over there. I haven't heard anything from over there. I don't know. That's how you work it. Now, other people we might run into in our prepper groups. Now, we already talked about the thefts. What we talked about the people that, you know, we talked about the shirkers. In fact, in here in the chat room, Foil Hat Soldier said, you know, it's an 80-20 proposition. You know, 20% do the most, do most of the work, while the other 80%, you know, watch. We can fix that. As a prepper group leader, you can fix that. As my wife has said to me plenty of times, if you have time to lean, you have time to clean. And I've, you know, I got the message. The message is simple, guys. It's this. If you got people standing around doing nothing, there's things that have to be done, find something for them to do. There's always something that has to be done at the BOL or at the AO. Always something that can be done. Always, always, always. It's true. Chuck, anything?
No, I would have to say the way you summarized it was pretty on the money there, pretty accurate.
All right. I said there's always something that can be done. Always something that can be worked on, something that can be cleaned, something that can be fixed, something that can be improved. Always something that can be done. So, as for the other 80%, you want to watch? Okay, you can watch, but we will find something for you to do because you cannot, you don't have the initiative to spot it or work on it yourself. Sometimes that's just the case. Some people stand around because they don't know what to do. They don't know what needs to be done. They need somebody to give them some pointers, give them a direction, give them some guidance. That can always happen. Now, what do we do about the know-it-alls? You know the person I'm talking about. These are the people that know everything. I know it's hard to believe, but they're out there. They know everything. Don't you dare disagree with them. So how are you going to deal with that person? Because they're out there, and you're, as a prepper leader, you're going to have to deal with it. So, again, how are you going to deal with them? Or what about this? Here's a better one yet. And I'm not knocking it, but you all need to understand something. You're probably going to have some college graduates somewhere in your group. These are the people that really don't work with their hands that much. They don't really produce it. They never really produced anything. They've kind of, you know, they're the people that work with their brain, so to speak. And you're going to deal with these people. And you might say, hey, look, we need you to grab a shovel. Get three or four people, grab some shovels, and go build a berm, a firing berm on the perimeter. Well, I don't do that. Oh, but you do now. Case in point, if they know everything, they are responsible for implementation. That's not bad. That's pretty good, Foil Hat Soldier. Kama Mike says gender studies, underwater basket weaving. Basically, you know, ask them what a defilade is. Build one. Case in point, and the first time I ever saw about this, I even thought about it. Believe it or not, I was reading the book, not watching the movie. I was reading the book, World War Z, and there's a section in there where, because some people have been lost, they have to retrain people. And some of these people, one of these people was a Hollywood publicist. I don't do that. I don't clean my house. I have a maid do that. Oh, no, not anymore. Guess what? You're going to run out these same people. I don't do that. Oh, yes, you do. You will. You will do it. I will teach you. And there's nothing wrong with that. There are some people, and I'm not saying everybody with a college degree is like that. What I'm saying is, you're going to get that mindset. That's what you got to do. And when the grid goes down, you're going to have to deal with that mindset. Say, you know what? You may have picked up a phone and told someone else to do it. You can't do that anymore. Now, are these people going to be volunteers in your prepper group? Nope. They will appear sometime after the grid goes down, after the critical incident. Then they will show up. Then you got to deal with them. So, Chuck, comments?
The know-it-alls. The ones who think that they know they can do their job better than you, and they will always take the opportunity to basically say it in front of your face, in front of everyone, undermining your authority. Well, put them in a place of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in a place of responsibility. It's one thing to say that they know it all, though, but they have to demonstrate it. And usually when push comes to shove, when they're at the precipice, where the decisions that they make, can either make or break whatever mission that they're on or whatever task that they're trying to do or whatever, then that's their time to either shine or fail, despite the fact that they know it all or not.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. You know, I haven't thought about it. I would like to have people in my prepper group that know the trades, that has a trade skill. I'll take a plumber. I'll take an electrician. I'll even take a construction site laborer, an apprentice. I'll take them in my group any time. I will take somebody. I'll take a factory worker in my group.
Or maybe someone who doesn't know anything at all but is willing to learn. I mean,
you know what?
I'll
take that person
well.
Too. I'll take somebody. I'll take somebody who says, you know what? I don't know. I don't know how to do this. Somebody teach me. You know what? I'll take that person. What I won't, you know, I will not. I'll take just about anybody, provided they have a skill or some knowledge that my group needs. Now, I don't think we could ever have enough medical people. EMTs, nurses, I'll take you. If we're lucky enough to have a doctor that knows what the hell they're doing about prepping and believes in it, I'll take you. Can never have enough of those people. How about a biologist? Would you take a biologist? How about a botanist? How about this? Would you take somebody that knows landscaping? Would you take that person? I think I would. But, so. So take, don't, and there's something else too, and I want to caution you, all of you, especially prepper group leaders and patriot leaders. Do not, and most of you are already smart enough to know this because I got the smartest audience out here. Do not assume anything about somebody by the way they look. And I mean, you know what? We all do it. We all make assumptions based on what our observations are. Many times, it's wrong. Now, I don't have to tell you this, but I feel like if I don't say it, somebody will say, well, nobody ever said that. Well, that's why I'm saying it. Many times our assumptions by the way people look, we do that all the time, especially in our society here in the United States. We judge people by the way they look. We judge people by the way they sound. We judge people if they talk with an accent. We judge that because that's what we do in the United States. And many times that assumption is going to be incorrect almost 95% of the time. So judge people what they know, not who they are, what they know, what kind of knowledge they have, and if you need them. Just something I want to put out there. You're right, Kamo Mike. Absolutely correct. How many people, especially here in the North, when they hear a Southern accent, they think that person is uneducated? I've actually heard it actually said. And of course, I mean, my big mouth, I can't keep my mouth shut. By God, they're going to hear from me. But anyways. Okay. Kenny brought up a good point. Look. You know, look, he says, what kind of observations? General ones are sometimes okay. He says, a guy that waddles at 300 pounds is out of shape. Well, I guess I waddle. Oh, by the way, for those of you there have listened to the show consistently the last month or so, I've dropped my 15 pounds, and I'm continuing to drop the weight because I got to get into prepper shape. Have to. So bear that in mind. I'm just putting it out there because I bitched about people not being in shape, and I can't bitch at people not being in shape if I'm not willing to work on myself. So I am working on myself, so I can bitch at all of you that aren't. Chuck, want to add something? You've been too quiet for too long.
Don't judge me by my waist size.
All right. What do we got there? Okay.
Come on. That's like discriminating based on weight. Come on. I mean, what? That makes you a weightist?
I got a question from Kamo Mike. I just told him in the chat room. I said, let's see it. Hold on. Listen to this. There you go. Anyways. Okay, he says, I'm not in shape. I'm not 24 anymore. Who the hell is? Hell, I'm 52. I'll be 53 this year. No, I take that back. I am 53. Oh, my God. My memory's going, too. But then again, to be honest, most preppers fall in this group, you know, a middle-aged group. Young people are not into prepping. They're into living for today, living for now. Based on what I've seen on the CRN Facebook page from the demographic breakdown, I think 19 to 25-year-olds make up 0.7% of the listening audience for CRN. I know. So, in the meantime, let me think. What else did I want to say? All these things come into mind before the show, and then when it comes time to do the show, I'm like lost without it. That's why I'm glad Chuck is here to carry me. What else we got? All right. I think that's about really about the people, you know.
Hold on there.
Go
if
ahead,
I have
buddy.
To carry you, then, if I have to carry you, then yeah, I'm going to have to ask you to reduce your weight. Just saying.
All right. I'm working on it, buddy. I dropped 15 pounds. 15 pounds. Okay. Before the chat room gets crazy, I'll tell you what it is. Reduced I've changed my eating habits. So now the eating habits are, say, how many of you remember the disk drives? You know, the plastic ones, not the floppies, the little disk drives. I can't remember what the size they were anymore. I keep the meat to that kind of a serving size twice a day. Eat as much salad as I want and green vegetables, no colored vegetables, just green vegetables. So yeah, it's working for me, and you know, is it difficult? Yes. And you know, by eating the meats, which and make sure that it's not glazed. Try to get rid of the sugar. If you keep the sugar down, your weight's going to come off just because. No, not 78 RPM, you idiots. How about the floppy drives? Yes, the ones that are still our nuclear defense ones are still using the floppies, I believe. And I'm trying to think of the size. I can't remember what it was. Like 3.5 inch, I think. Was that it? Maybe, I don't know. I don't remember. Maybe it's 5 1/4. I don't remember. Anyways, so yeah. I've dropped 15 pounds. So you're saying, well, what are you at now? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm at 285 right now. So I got a long way to go. I do.
No, but I know that. But you're working on it and it's showing. So as far as I'm concerned, that's progress. And any progress is better than no progress at all. So I would say congratulations. So if you have that soundbite of the applause, you need to give that to yourself.
All right. And I'm going to tell you something, people. I hate it. I am so tired of eating green vegetables. I mean, I'm eating kale, dandelions, dandelion salad, romaine, iceberg, green vegetables, green beans, anything green. Because no colored vegetables. That's, you know, let's face it, fish. Much fish as I want. Thank God there's fish. I mean, I've been eating cod for the last 2 days, and I can't get enough of it. But it's no carbs, extremely high in protein. It's good stuff. Does it get boring? Yes. And something that you need to, especially for you preppers out there, guys like my age and all that, how many times do we sit around there and we say, gee, I want something to eat? Are you eating because you're hungry, or are you eating because you're bored? Me, I catch myself walking in the kitchen more than a few times, looking around saying, I'm not hungry, I'm bored, and I walk out. No. And also, I stopped drinking soda pop. Actually, what I'm drinking a lot of is water, alkaline water. That's where I'm at right now. Yeah. Oh, bored is hungry. Yeah, I guess that. Let's see. Colin Mike says, grow kale and bok choy down here in the winter, Brussels sprouts, broccoli. I just had broccoli the other night. I had a whole bag of broccoli. You can have as much salad and green vegetables as you want. Just got to watch the meat and absolutely keep it. You got to keep a real close eye on the sugars. But it's not something that can't be done. So it can be done. I'm living proof. And if I can do it, I know. Hey, look, if you're prepping, you can do this. You got the right mindset. Just kind of refocus a little bit of your goals. Instead of trying to make up an inventory list and update it every 2 weeks, take that effort and say, look, I got to do this, I got to do that. Now, the wife has got me talked into going to the gym with her. Now, am I going to lift weights? No. Will I sit on a bike? Probably. Will I do the treadmill? Probably. Will I do the Stairmaster? Maybe, if the knees will hold out. But the idea is this, just cardio, baby. Start getting it burned, start burning it up, that kind of thing. But anyways, enough about me. This isn't what this is about. Oh, my. Yep, you're absolutely right, Kenny. Sugar, rice, bread, potatoes, and pasta, just say no. I love all that stuff. I do. I'm telling you. And once I reach my stated weight goal, I will slowly imbibe in those things, but not now. I gotta get things refocused biologically speaking.
But what you're trying to do is that you're trying to filter or basically stay away from a lot of the foods that you like. Is there anything wrong? Because I'm type 2 as well. Is there anything wrong with having a little bit of what you like, but in moderation, and not eat like having a big ass bowl full?
Okay, I'm gonna tell you something. Hey, look, if you don't cheat on your diet a little bit once in a while, you're going to cheat huge, and then it's over. You'll go right back to what you're doing. So, no, I say, you know what? I had to have some cereal, and I just happened to have a little bit of Trix. I grabbed a handful of that and ate them one at a time. And I said, okay, I'm good. I'm good. That's enough for right now. But, you know, and then I'm back on it. Have a salad. And don't forget, you know, you don't have to eat 3 times a day. Eat twice a day. If you keep busy, like today I was kept busy, I didn't even have lunch. I think I had a late breakfast, skipped lunch. I haven't even had dinner yet. And I think I'm going for dinner, just so you know. I've got some ground beef already cooked up. I'm going to take maybe two or three spoonfuls of ground beef and throw them into a salad. And that will be dinner. It might be, you know, I think I'll have kale and dandelion salad. But, yeah. But, yeah, there's nothing wrong with cheating a little bit, because if you don't cheat a little bit, you just keep withholding that craving. You got the willpower. You're going to push through it. No, you're not, because you will fail big. So cheat a little bit. It gets rid of that craving. It's all right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
need to hear that.
And I got to tell you, I went to the doctor and I got an ass chewing last week. The doctor and I had a very spirited conversation about a lot of things. But the bottom line, I love pizza too, buddy. And I like vinegar quite a bit. I put that on the vegetables sometimes. But I'll tell you right now, we had quite a spirited conversation, the doctor and I. But the bottom line was, it's not him, it's me. I'm the one that's, I am responsible for the way I look, for the way I feel. I don't like it, so I got to change it. I'm going to tell you something. If you start doing this, which is fine, just don't expect results overnight. It's not going to happen. It took you years to get to this point. It will take you several months to get back to where you should be. Now, for those that, you know, my goal is to drop 110 pounds. It's going to take me about a year. I understand that. I don't like it, but I understand it. But I can do it a little bit at a time. And no, you know, and I'll tell you, I like to eat. It's one of my favorite activities. I do. Sit down in front of the TV, hit the couch, get the remote, grab me something to eat, like a pizza. I'm good. Wrong. Not a good thing. It just isn't. For those of you that, update. Before I forget, if you didn't hear Julie's show last night, I announced it then. I'm going to announce it tonight too. The trademark negotiations have been resolved. So it cost me some money to get it done. Actually, it cost me a lot of money to get it done, but it's been resolved. So the trademark issue will be moving forward to its conclusion. Thank you to those that emailed me the possibility of having to change the name to CRN to something else, but it looks like we're going to keep it. So there'll be a coexistence agreement between myself and another entity. Just so you all know, I'm very protective about CRN. Not because I spent, yes, it's partially because I put a lot of money into it and I do every month, but I got the time invested in this. I've got over almost 3 years now. Yeah, 2.5, 3 years almost. So yeah, I'm invested in it time-wise and monetarily, but just to let you know, that's where we're at. Okay, Kenny Kaufman. He says, people in your group need to get into prepper shape. They need to be able to walk 5 miles a day with a bob. How big of a bob, sir? What should we put in our bob? How much weight? We'll get the answer to that from Kenny when he hears it. If you'd like to get a hold of Kenny, he's in the chat room right now. It's like Julie took off. We got Come On Mike. It's like Kenny's gone already, darn it. And Clea. Foil Hat Soldier and Kamo Mike. Kamo Mike's down in Florida. Trix is deaf. Yes, but boy, are they good. So. All right. I don't know. Chuck, I think we're just about done with this episode, buddy. Uh-oh. Where's Mr. Chuck? He was here.
I'm still here. Let me ask you this. Remember we had that talk about us having a segment regarding the best types of firearms to get for prepping?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm kind of working on that right now. I didn't know if we were going to do it today or not.
I got Tim from North Carolina. He'll be on Wednesday night. He's going to start his own gunsmithing store and stuff. If Kenny's around, it'd be great to have Ken join in on the conversation. And, of course, yourself, Chuck, would be nice. Myself, like I said, I know enough about firearms to get myself in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know how they work. I'm not good at fixing them. I'm not. I'm going to tell you right now. And firearms are as diverse as the people's opinions you're going to hear about. But that's going to be a Wednesday night's show on the roundtable report. I thought that would be a good subject. So we'll take care of it then.
Sounds good. All right.
Anything you want to say to the people, my friend?
Time for closing arguments already, huh?
Yeah. Make it simple.
Okay.
Make it easy.
Okay. Well, for many of you living in the Midwest, maybe in the Northeast, maybe in the far North like Wisconsin, you might be hit by a major winter storm at this moment. Perhaps you got many inches of snow in front of you, so you're pretty much trapped in your home until the city comes around to dig you out, and then you can go back to a normal day where you can actually get out in your car and run the errands that you need to run.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's always a possibility that there'll be such a major snowfall, and the snowfall will be so intense that maybe there might be no one available to help you out of your house. That's why it's important to make sure you have provisions and medicines and in your home to basically have at what you need it until such time when maybe help does arrive and they dig you out. There's always a possibility help will not arrive, and if you have, you may have to dig yourself out. But the point is that it's better to have and need, or have and not need rather, than to not have and need. So, and the first rule of prepping is to always have a little bit of extra something so that your family can have it and when they need it. And that's definitely includes food and provisions and medicines and, whatever. So get in that mindset, because I know everyone doesn't make a lot of money. So you can only get to these things based on how much your income can afford. Get into the habit of spending a few more dollars just to have that extra food on hand when you need it. Put it away someplace for a rainy day. But I just wanted to encourage everyone to do that, because in my honest opinion, any family that has a week's worth of food is basically one up over everyone else that only has 3 days worth of food. So you owe it to yourself and to your family to get into that mindset. And that's all that I have as far as that public service line.
All right, buddy.
All right.
All right. Look, hey, you know what? I know sometimes we could do 2-hour shows, but sometimes I want to do it so people who are listening in their cars to and from work, you know what? They can listen to this on their cell phones or whatnot. And no, they're not going to miss the whole thing. So, yeah, we'll call it even. Plus, people have to work tomorrow.
Right.
So I don't like to make it too late. All right, my friend. Thank you for calling in tonight. I really appreciate it. I thought you had some interesting insights tonight. Thanks for sharing them.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for your time and allowing me on your show. You have a great weekend now.
All right, buddy. Good night.
Okay, good night. Bye-bye.
That was Chuck. We'll probably hear from him again Wednesday night. As for the rest of you, what we got out there? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Chat room. All right. Well, that said, you know what? I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. This may not be the most exciting episode, but I think it's an informative one at that. So with that said, for my prepper and patriot friends out there, I say to you this. Be safe. Be alert. And be vigilant. I'm John Jeffers here at the Contrario Network saying goodnight, and thanks for listening to me.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine & More.
Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.